Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, April 24th, Pope Francis prays for a two-state solution in Palestine and Israel. Mass graves are discovered in hospitals in the Gaza Strip, and UNICEF warns that children in Haiti are in danger as the country continues to suffer its long-simmering crisis. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. Pope Francis one more has pleaded for global peace. Addressing the faithful gathered for his Wednesday general audience in St. Peter's Square, the Holy Father emphasized the devastating consequences of war and called for prayers for conflict-stricken regions like Ukraine, Palestine, Israel and Myanmar. As Sister Francine Cooper reports, in praying for the Middle East, the Holy Father reiterated his call for a two-state solution and for diplomacy to reign in the region.
La guerra sempre è una sconfitta.
Another appeal for peace. Pope Francis repeats his plea for peace worldwide weekly, and the general audience on Wednesday, 24th of April, was no different. He recalled that war is always a defeat and highlighted that those who profit from these tragedies are arms manufacturers.
Sono I fabbricatori delle armi.
Please, asked the Pope, let us pray for peace, before reiterating that his appeal goes to martyred Ukraine,
preghiamo per la martoriata Ucraina,
which suffers so much and where young soldiers go to die.
E preghiamo anche per Medio Oriente.
Likewise, he continued, we must pray for the Middle East and in particular for Gaza. It suffers so much, said the Pope.
Fra la pace fra Palestina e Israele.
Finally, the Pope prayed for peace between Palestine and Israel, that they may be two states, free and with good relations.
Preghiamo per la pace.
Let us pray for peace, he concluded. I'm Sister Francie Marie Cooper.
The United Nations Human Rights Chief, Volker Turk, has decried a series of Israeli strikes on Rafah in the past few days that have killed mostly children and women. He has repeated his warning against a full-scale incursion on an area where 1.2 million civilians have been forcibly cornered. Thaddeus Jones has this report.
The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights has called on world leaders to stand united on the imperative of protecting the civilian population trapped in Rafah, where any full-scale military incursion by the Israeli forces would risk more deaths, injuries, and displacement on a large scale. And they worry even further atrocity crimes for which those responsible would be held accountable. Already in March, the UN Security Council had demanded an immediate ceasefire in the area. The UN Human Rights Chief, Volker Turk, condemned the latest images of a premature child taken from the womb of her dying mother and of the adjacent two houses where 15 children and five women were killed, saying this is beyond warfare. As of the 22nd of April, according to the authorities in Gaza, 34,151 Palestinians have been killed there, and 14,685 have been children, while 9,670 women. Another 77,000 have been injured, and over 7,000 others are assumed to be under the rubble. The UN Human Rights Chief says every 10 minutes a child is killed or wounded, and they must be protected under the laws of war. And yet there are ones who are disproportionately paying the ultimate price in this war. The High Commissioner for Human Rights is the principal human rights official of the United Nations. Volker Turk said he was horrified by the destruction of an Al-Nasser medical complex and Al-Shifa medical complex and the reported discovery of mass graves in and around these locations. He's called for an independent and effective and transparent investigation into these deaths. The High Commissioner said the unspeakable suffering caused by the fighting alongside the resulting misery and destruction, starvation and disease, and the risk of a wider conflict must end once and for all. He's reiterated his call for an immediate ceasefire, the release of hostages and those held in arbitrary detention, and the unfettered flow of humanitarian aid. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
Another warning regarding Gaza. The Gaza Strip could surpass famine thresholds of food insecurity, malnutrition and mortality in 6 weeks, an official from the World Food Programme said on Wednesday. We are getting closer by the day to a famine situation, said Giancarlo Ciri, Geneva director of the World Food Programme. Meanwhile, voting is underway in North Macedonia to elect a president ahead of an upcoming parliamentary election as the Balkan country continues to ponder its European Union membership bid. The turnout must be at least 40% for the result to be valid. Incumbent President Stevo Penderovski is a candidate of the pro-European Social Democrats running for a second five-year term. He is challenged by Gordana Siljanovska-Davkova from the opposition coalition. The two offer different views on how to deal with neighbouring Bulgaria's condition of securing a recognition of a Bulgarian minority in the constitution of North Macedonia in exchange for its backing of Skopje's EU bid. The results of Wednesday's polls are due later in the day. Elsewhere, UNICEF's Director General Catherine Russell says millions of children in Haiti are in need of humanitarian assistance as conditions in the country continue to worsen. Speaking also in her capacity as principal advocate on the humanitarian situation in Haiti, the UNICEF chief told the UN Security Council that the time for action is long overdue, and she called for an immediate increase in regional and international support for the beleaguered Caribbean nation. Christopher Wells tells us more.
The situation in Haiti is catastrophic, and it grows worse by the day, UNICEF Director General Catherine Russell told the UN Security Council during a briefing on the humanitarian situation in the country. The head of the UN Children's Fund presented a raft of statistics documenting the deplorable conditions in Haiti. Some 5.5 million people, including almost two-thirds of the nation's children, in need of humanitarian aid. 2.7 million people, including 1.6 million women and children, in areas under the control of armed groups. 2,500 people killed, injured, or kidnapped thus far in 2024. Some 180,000 children internally displaced. Russell also noted the rise of violent armed groups destroying livelihoods and restricting access to services, while communities forced to defend themselves leave families and children cut off from aid and essential services. Further, some 80,000 cases of cholera are making a desperate situation even worse. Nonetheless, Russell said, despite the risks and operational complexity, our organizations and partners are still reaching the most vulnerable children and families with life-saving services. She implored UN member states to increase flexible humanitarian funding while calling on the Security Council to reiterate the need for adherence to international law, facilitate impartial, independent humanitarian action in Haiti, and prioritize protecting people. The time for action is long overdue, Russell said. The Haitian people need an immediate scale-up in both regional and international support, without which the situation could become unrecoverable. At the same time, she warned that even if all the right steps are taken to quell this crisis, it will not be solved quickly. She insisted on the need to deliver comprehensive political and financial support now and over the long term, while working hand-in-hand with the Haitian people to develop the innovative solutions needed to deliver their vision of a peaceful, prosperous society. I'm Christopher Wells.
In other news, a Russian court on Wednesday ordered one of Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu's deputies to be kept in custody on suspicion of taking bribes, the highest-profile corruption case since President Vladimir Putin sent troops into Ukraine in 2022. Deputy Defense Minister Timur Ivanov was detained on Tuesday at work by the Federal Security Service, or FSB, the main successor to the Soviet-era KGB, for accepting large bribes. Cisco, the multinational digital communications technology company, today signed the Pontifical Academy for Life's Rome Call for AI Ethics, committing to an ethical approach to artificial intelligence in the areas of ethics, education and rights. As Inter Bordonia reports, the endorsement ceremony took place shortly after the Cisco delegation was received by Pope Francis in the Vatican.
Expressing satisfaction for Cisco's pledge to adhere to ethical guidelines in artificial intelligence, Archbishop Vincenzo Paglia emphasised that AI is no longer just a topic for experts and stressed that the ethics surrounding its development are now more urgent than ever. The president of the Pontifical Academy for Life was speaking at an event on Wednesday morning, during which Chuck Robbins, the CEO and president of Cisco System Incorporated, put his signature to the Rome Call for AI Ethics, a document promoted by the Pontifical Academy and by its Renaissance Foundation that supports the anthropological and ethical reflection of new technologies on human life and has already been endorsed by the likes of Microsoft, IBM, FAO and the Italian Ministry of Innovation. The signing ceremony took place inside the Vatican shortly after the delegation was received by Pope Francis during the weekly general audience. Archbishop Paglia highlighted Cisco's role as a technological partner for AI adoption and implementation, and he welcomed the company's commitment that, he said, strengthens the alliance between corporate responsibility and the ethical principles outlined in the document. Mr. Robbins spoke of the transformative impact of AI that, he said, offers both vast opportunities and new challenges. And he promised to facilitate the AI revolution, aligning with the ethical principles set out in the Rome Call. I'm Linda Bordoni.
And finally, Pope Francis held his weekly general audience this morning. As he continued his catechesis series on virtues and vices, but staying with virtues, he transitioned from the cardinal virtues to the theological ones of faith, hope and charity. The Holy Father noted that these are the foundation of Christian moral activity and guide us on our journey towards eternal life and on our journey towards holiness. Deborah Castellano-Lubov reports.
Cari fratelli e sorelle, buongiorno.
Theological virtues are infused by God and with the Holy Spirit prepare us to merit eternal life. Pope Francis made this point at his Wednesday general audience in the Vatican as he transitioned from discussing cardinal virtues to reflecting on the theological ones of faith, hope, and charity.
La fede, la speranza e la carità.
The Catechism of the Catholic Church, the Pope recalled, describes the theological virtues as the foundation of Christian moral activity, which animate it and give it its special character. It notes they inform and give life to all the moral virtues. The Holy Father recalled they are infused by God into the souls of the faithful to make them capable of acting as his children. While praising the cardinal virtues as being capable of generating men and women who are heroic in doing good, the Pope warned that at times they pose a risk of one being heroic personally but isolated. Whereas, he suggested, the great gift of the theological virtues is existence lived in the Holy Spirit.
Nello Spirito Santo.
The Pope emphasized this essential community-related dimension of Christianity, which is inherent in the theological virtues. A Christian is never alone, he reflected. He does good because, as a humble disciple, he walks behind the Master Jesus. Therefore, he suggested that theological virtues are the great antidote to self-sufficiency. The theological virtues, the Pope went on to stress, are of great help, especially when we have moments where we fall and we do not succeed in our good moral intentions. But if we open up our hearts to the Holy Spirit, Pope Francis encouraged, he revives the theological virtues in us. If we have lost confidence, God reopens us to the faith, he said. If we are discouraged, he explained, God awakens hope in us. And if our heart is hardened, the Pope reassured, God softens it with his love.
Diciamolo insieme, la fede, la speranza, e non sento niente, più forte, la fede. Siete stati bravi.
I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit vaticannews.va. Many thanks go to Bruno Orti in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.